Boxed. How many of y'all are here last week? Oh, we've got some newbies. All right. No, but last week we started a series called Boxed. But, you know, the first one that we talked about, well, I'm just getting way ahead of myself already. What's the deal? There's an old saying that we've heard, you know, started back in the 90s, I think. It says, think outside of the box. All right, think outside. Get outside of the box. And my question was, what's wrong with the box? I kind of like boxes. You know, good stuff comes in boxes. You know, we get stuff in the mail, get stuff UPS. You know, lots of good stuff comes in boxes. And I believe God brings boxes into our lives for us to get in and learn something about God, be able to grow in our relationship with God, get in the box, learn, and get out of the box and move on with their lives. There's so many people that, you know, they get saved, they have that salvation experience where they, you know, give their life over to Christ, and it's an amazing experience, but they stop right there. They think that is it. That is all you have to do. But see, God has such a better life for us than just staying right there. He wants us to grow. He wants us to learn. He wants us to become more like Him, to act more like Him. And He wants us to grow. And that's what this is about with these boxes, is they represent different stages in our spiritual life to where we need to get in the box, get all that we can in that box, learn, grow, and move on to the next box. All right? The kind of the scripture that we're using is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and starting in verse 16. How many Bibles do we have today? Yes, I love it. People tend to quit bringing their Bibles to church these days. I don't get that, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is where we're going to get started here. I'll give you another second to get there. Some of you don't got your fingers warmed up yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Wait, yes, 16. Let's read this thing. It says, but whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It's talking about a spiritual veil that blinds us. Now the Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. I love that. He says, when we turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You remember when you first got saved, and it was just like, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, it's like you started understanding stuff in the Bible. It's like you were able to start comprehending some things that were a little foggy to you before. When it comes to God. And that's my prayer for this series, is that God will take the veil away and let us to be able to see into our lives and see where we are at spiritually. And then He shows us the path so that we can grow more in Him. Amen? All right. Let's go on to the next box. Did I tell you about the first one yet? I didn't tell you. The first one was, I'm telling you, I don't know what's going on today. The crib was the first box that we talked about last week. And what do we put in cribs? Little babies. Oh, we love little babies. They're so cute. They're so amazing. That little baby comes into our lives. But you know what? That baby can't take care of itself. You have to do everything for that baby. Can't feed itself. Can't clean up itself. It can't do anything. And it's our job as parents to take care and nurture and grow these babies. In our spiritual lives, it's the same way. When we first come to Christ, we don't know what we're doing. We're babies in Christ, and we don't know how to live our lives for God. And in the same way that you have the little baby, when you get saved, you're a baby in Christ. And you have to have people take care of you. You have to have people feed you. And you know, all of these things in your life, people have to help you to live your Christian life to get you going. You know, but there's a certain point in your life to where, you know, you got to get out of the crib. You got to learn how to take care of yourself spiritually. You got to learn how to read the Bible for yourself. You got to learn to be able to go to God when something's going on in your life and talk to Him for yourself. You got to learn how to pray, to have that communication with God. And it's a time that we grow from being dependent on other people to being independent, to where it is you and God in a relationship, full force. You're able to take care of yourself. Now, we still need each other. That never goes away. We always need each other. But there needs to come to a point to where we can take care of ourselves spiritually. All right, now we can go to the next box. I was just excited to get to this box, I guess. I couldn't help it. The mystery box. I made this myself, as you can tell. It's quite high quality stuff right here. The mystery box. But in my 8 years of experience as youth pastor, I can learn to balance boxes. No. I've been doing this for 8 years now, and I've been asked lots of questions. As you can imagine, those of you who have kids and teenagers, they ask a lot of questions. Some of them are just like, wow, I don't know how to answer that. I mean, it's just so thought-provoking and, you know, such a deep subject, and you're just like, man, I don't know how to answer that. And you make up something usually, you know, to make it sound like you know what you're talking about. Anybody know what you're talking about? Yeah. You know, some questions are, you know, just real thought-provoking. Some of them you just look at them and think, what's going on in that brain of yours anyway? Were you actually thinking about that? I mean, no. But I've been asked lots and lots of questions. And some of these ones, I was kind of thinking about it the other day and just trying to write down some of the good questions I've been asked. And one of the biggest ones that I've been asked is, why do bad things happen to me when I'm trying to do right? Anybody ever asked that question? I can raise both hands, you know, the whole bit. You know, why do bad things always happen to me when I'm trying to do right? I'm trying to do the right thing, and it just seems to be so much harder. I'm not going to answer these questions today. I'm just going to ask them. Here's a good one. It says, I don't get the whole Trinity thing. Will you explain that to me? I think that's the toughest concept to understand in Christianity, is the Trinity. I mean, it's mind-boggling that, you know, God is three and he works perfectly together, but he's one at the same time. And, you know, it just blows my mind. So I'm not going to confuse you with that. Here's another one. It says, why does God want to ruin my teenage life by not letting me have sex until I'm married? If you've worked with teenagers, you've been asked that 100 times. All right? It's a legitimate question when you're a teenager, I guess. Here's another one. I'm kind of scared to ask this one again. Where does it say in the Bible? A lot of people like to ask that. Where does it say in the Bible this? Where does it say in the Bible that women should be silent in the church? And there's the death stares coming. I feel them. I can feel them. It's like heat coming at me. No, I'm just joking on that one. I have no clue where it says that. I don't even think it says it anymore. I don't know. Anyway. But one of my favorite, my all-time favorite questions, when we used to go to the Fusion Conference in Little Rock, there was one year, and I've never seen a group of youth pastors so quiet. I mean, it was just like, that's you. You answer that one. I ain't touching that. You know, and someone, you know, rattled off an answer over there, and we all, like, moved on. But I was just like, wow. I mean, it just blew our minds. It was crazy that, you know, an 11-year-old would be thinking about having a baby, I guess, or something. I don't know. It was crazy. But lots of people ask questions about God. There's lots of questions that we have about God. And, you know, I've been asked a lot of these questions. I'm sure you have too. But there's sometimes that we can give a good answer, and there's sometimes you don't. There's sometimes you just look at them, you know, you act like you're thinking about it. Then you look at him and says, you know what? When you get to heaven, why don't you ask God that question? I'm sure he can answer that. You know, because I have no idea. I don't know how to answer that. But people have lots of questions about God. And that's good. That's a good thing that people ask questions. What scares me is when people don't ask questions. You know, you're kind of going into something new and trying to learn something new. And they look at you like, I got it. Let me tell you something. You don't always got it, especially when it comes to God, because there's so much to God that we'll never, ever even come close to comprehending everything that he is, why he does certain things. We will never know till you get to heaven, you can ask him yourself. Then he'll answer you, I'm sure. But it's good to ask questions. You can tell people are meditating on it. They're thinking about it. They're processing it. They're trying to figure it out. And they come to you with questions. That's good. I like that. But what scares me is when they don't have questions. They just blindly accept it and go on with their lives. They don't process it. They don't do anything. They're just like, okay. Now, there's some things that you have to do that too, like the Trinity. You know, I believe in the Trinity. Hey, that's great. I don't understand it. God, I believe you. Let's go on. You know, because that's a tough one. And so people have lots of questions. They're in the mystery box. They're trying to figure things out. They're trying to learn things. And that's a good place to be. We always have questions. But see, here where the problem happens. You can tell when you've stayed in the mystery box too long. When they ask the question without trying to find out for themselves before they ask the question. So many people want to go and ask the experts the question because that's the easy thing to do. And get the answer from somebody else instead of working and trying to find it for yourself. See, questions are great. But the thing is, we got to learn how to go and find the answers for ourselves. We need to learn how to go to the Word of God and study. Learn how to look up Scripture. Learn how to look up certain key phrases to find the things that you're looking for. One of the things I might start doing is someone come ask me a question like, well, what have you found out so far? You know, what have you looked up so far? What have you found out? Because so many people just want that quick answer, that quick and easy thing just to, you know, answer my question and I'll go on. You know, and that's a scary place to be. Because what ends up happening is you try to experience God through other people. You try to have a relationship with God through somebody else. See, that's not what God wants. God wants that personal relationship with you. That one-on-one relationship where you go to God. That you don't have to go, you know, call Jason and say, hey, you know, tell me about this. Help me out. Pray for me. You know, and we got to have that personal relationship with God to where we have learned how to go to God for ourselves and find our answers. We need to go to God for ourselves and be able to get in the presence of God and just be able to worship Him and have that personal time with Him. People want to learn about and experience God through other people. Psalms 34:8. Psalms 34:8. It says this. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. It says, tasting. And see, this scripture used to weird me out. Like, am I supposed to eat God or something? I mean, that's kind of weird. I don't know if you can taste God. You know, what does He taste like? You know, and I got hung up on that. But it says, go and experience God for yourself. Taste Him and see, because that's how you're going to know that the Lord is good. That's how you're going to know, because if you try to have a spiritual life through somebody else, you're never going to have that personal experience, that personal relationship where it's you and God, and you're always going to have to trust on somebody else to go to God for you. And that's not where God wants you to be. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See, one of the me and Miranda have always wanted to go to Hawaii. Anybody ever been to Hawaii? There's been a few. There's very few people that like actually get to make it to Hawaii, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't like the long plane ride. It's a long one. But anyway, that's something that we've always wanted to do. And I love to hear stories about when people go to Hawaii and the things they've experienced. And, you know, the place, you know, they always say, oh, there's this one place that's right on the beach. You got to go eat there. They have the best seafood. Oh, you got to get the crab leg, you know, or whatever. You know, they had these little stories, like little tips for you and stuff. And I love to hear people talk about going to Hawaii because I want to go there someday. But you know what? If I never go to Hawaii, I'm never going to get the full experience of Hawaii. I have to experience it from just being at home or driving down the road or something, just start worshiping God. Kind of like we were this morning, just worshiping God and pouring your heart out to God. And you can feel the presence of God just fill your car, and it's just you and God. You have that experience. You know that God is real. There's no question in your mind at that point that if God exists or not. Because you know, you've experienced it. See, that's what we need to do. We need to learn how to do that. See, there are some good questions that we need to ask. These are the questions that we need to be asking. Can you teach me how to read the Bible? Can you teach me how to look things up in the Bible? How to study? How to understand? Can you teach me how to do that? Don't just ask where Scripture is. Say, can you teach me how to do that on my own? Can you teach me how to get into the presence of God when I'm by myself? Can you show me what that looks like? Can you show me how that's done? So questions are good. It's great that's how you find out, you know, a lot of your knowledge is through asking questions. But you got to ask the right questions. Don't be lazy and live your spiritual life through somebody else. The second box I want to talk about, you're gone, is the treasure box. Everybody loves a treasure hunt, don't they? I remember as a kid, you know, watching all the movies where they go, you know, hunt for treasure. Everybody wants to find buried treasure when they're kids, right? You know, you think about, ooh, look at all that stuff. Ooh, it's so pretty. You know, the little rubies. And, you know, I guess back then it was just rubies and diamonds and stuff. There wasn't actually money. Back in the pirate days, you know, there was treasure out there. And you got to go find the treasure. Everybody loves a good treasure box. But see, we all have treasure boxes in our own lives. You know, they're full of like memories of things that you've done in your past. They're souvenirs, family heirlooms. You have money and savings bonds and, you know, just all kinds of treasures that we all build up in our lives. And you know, that's great. I've got some of mine here. This is our very heavy duty, fireproof thing that we keep stuff in. I'm not sure what exactly it's called, but that's what I call it. And lots of important stuff. I mean, all of our important document stuff is in here, so nobody steal it, please. Got our passports in here from when we went to Jamaica. I can tell you all about Jamaica if you want to experience Jamaica through me. I know it's in here. Oh, there it is. That's our stamp from Jamaica. You know, all kinds of, you know, paperwork and dog tags, vaccination rabies from 3 years ago, life insurance stuff. You know, we have stuff that we keep our treasures in, our important stuff in. And we have stuff that we like to keep as far as memories. I don't know why I came to this side to get this out, but I've got a bunch of these. How many has collected the baseball trophies from the day, back in the glory days, right? 1992. Babe Ruth, first place. Right there, babe. Let me tell you about it. Babe Ruth, 14 and 15 year old. Not telling you the place. Right there. It's where I killed my first deer. I didn't know I still had that. But it's October 21st, 1995. And we keep treasures. We have things that we hang on to because, you know, they're important to us. Check this baby out. Got that at a St. Louis Cardinal baseball game right there. I think I can hit something still with that. Here we go. Beta Club. That's right. I was in Beta Club for a semester. There's my proof. And I played football that year too. Got my Ozzie Smith action figure going on here. Best shortstop that ever played in the major leagues right there. Ozzie Smith. Could do the amazing backflip. What else do we got? Pitchers. How many of you are pitcher freaks? Piles and piles of pitchers everywhere. Apparently, I have piles of pitchers of myself. This is my senior pitcher, and you see how many I had left over? I didn't have any friends back in the day. Right there is my T-ball batting. That's where it all started right there. That's where the glory days started. American Legion was the team, the green team. Some of y'all remember that, right? American Legion. But anyway, we have lots of memories that we like to store. We have a place that we put them so we can go back and remember, you know, all the good stuff that happened in our lives. In our spiritual lives, it's the same way. We have a treasure box to where we store all the stuff that God has done for us in our lives. It's a great box that we love to go visit. You know, you love to go back and remember the time that you got saved. You like to go back and remember the time where, you know, God, you know, worked this thing in your life and it was amazing. You remember the time when, you know, that little baby was born and it's such a blessing from God. And you have all of these things stored in your spiritual treasure box. Because there's times in our lives where it gets rough. And you start to ask God, where are you at? God, what's going on? How come I don't feel you like I used to? Or how come, you know, you don't seem that close to me anymore? And then you can go back to your treasure box and you can remember the faithfulness of God in your life. You can go over those things in your life over and over again. And it lifts your spirit up and it gets you excited again. And it helps you go through those rough patches in your life. The treasure box is a good place to be. It says in Psalms 103. Wrong button. Nope, still the wrong button. Psalms 103. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." And there are benefits to serving God. There's benefits to our Christian life to where, you know, God just invests in us and He builds us up and He strengthens us. And we have all of these benefits that go in our treasure box. And it's a great place to visit. But you don't need to stay there. See, many people serve God based on what God can give them and not for who He is. See, when you hang out in the treasure box too long, you get your focus on stuff, on what God can do for you. Let me tell you, God's done lots of amazing things for you. You need to be serving God based on what you can do for Him. See, when we get stuck in the treasure box, when we hang out there too long, we start getting greedy. We start getting selfish. We start getting covetous, thinking, you know, what else can I get? What else can I get? See, we begin to treat God like a short order cook, where you wake up in the morning and give God your order. This is what I want today. I want a raise. I want my wife to act right today. Hey, it was a lot worse last service. So. My wife's in this service, so I have to behave. You know, and you give God your order for the day and what you want. Let me tell you something. God is not your short order cook. God is not a vending machine for you to put your two little prayers in there and turn the knob and bam, there it is. That's not the way God works. See, there's some things in your life that you can't handle. There's some people, if you won the lottery and won $1 million, your life would be ruined. That money would ruin you. There's things that we ask for in our lives that God knows would ruin us. And so, you know, we can't just, you know, throw up a prayer and say, "Hey, God, I need a new boat," you know, and it show up. That's not the way God works. See, God does want to bless us. God does want to give us stuff. God wants to give us that abundant life. But we can't demand anything from God. We can stand on the promises of God. You know, there's promises all throughout the Bible that God said, "I will give you this. This is yours." We can stand on those promises, but you can't say, "God, I want a new boat now." Some people treat God like that. See, when you hang out in the treasure box too long, you get a warped view of God. You begin to view God in a wrong way, to where it's all about the stuff. See, life isn't always going to be cushy. Life's not always going to be easy. It says in John chapter 16, verse 33. says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Because in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, we will face trouble in this world. Life is not always going to be perfect. Most of you already know that. But see, when our trust is in God, He helps us to overcome those things. There's going to be rough patches. There's going to be hard times in our lives. There's going to be times where, I mean, you're just praying, God, you know, these bills are coming due. God, I need you to come through for me. I've been there. I've prayed those prayers and God always came through. And there's times in our lives to where it seems like everything's going right. You have everything that you need. Life is going good. But no matter what, put your trust in God and not your stuff. Put your trust in God and not your circumstances around you. Because God has already overcome all of that stuff. Because if we live by our circumstances, our life's going to be a roller coaster. But see, when we live our lives by God, we get to stay a little bit more constant. There will still be ups and downs in our lives because we're not perfect. We're going to mess up. But it's going to be a little bit more constant. It's going to help us stay above a lot of the stuff that's going on in our lives. See, a lot of people think when you're going through a rough patch, they think, where is God? What's going on? God, did you leave me? God, did I do something wrong? And we begin to question a lot of these things. But see, rough times come, good times come. That's life. Where is your trust? Is it in God or is it in yourself? Let me end with this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. You know, I really look up to Paul of the New Testament because he lived such an amazing life. He ministered to people all over, what's that area called over there? Around Jerusalem and the Roman Empire and all that stuff. And I mean, he was an amazing leader. He won lots of people to the Lord and just had an amazing ministry. And, you know, you think somebody that was just so important in the kingdom of God, you know, God would just take care of him and everything would be perfect and life would be wonderful. Come to find out, people are people. He said this in Philippians 4, verse 11. Excuse me. He said, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. I know what it means to be in need. I know what it means to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul saw it all. But this is his secret. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's because of Christ he was able to do everything that he did in his life. Because he says somewhere in the Bible, he talks about everything that happened to him. He says, you know, I've been stoned. I've been left for dead. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. And all of these things that happened because of the message that Paul was trying to get across, the enemy was attacking him and bringing hard times in his life. He said, I just kept my eyes on God because he is my strength. See, if we get hung in the treasure box and we see God as a vending machine, or we see God as a short order cook, then we're going to be miserable. We're going to be disappointed. You're going to think, God, what's going on? How come you're not producing for me? And you're going to have a skewed view of who God is. And he said, no, that's not the way it works. See, you follow me and I'll bring this stuff to you. You don't have to worry about it. He said it like this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to me. See, there are going to be times in your life that you're going to struggle financially. There's going to be times in your life where you have plenty. But are you trusting in that? Or are you going to trust in God? The treasure box. It's a good place to visit, but we don't need to stay there for very long. Prayer team, if you go ahead and come up. But see, my prayer for this series, as I said at the beginning in 1 Corinthians, God, unveil our eyes so we can see where we are at. God, so that we can see plainly where I'm stuck at, the things I need to improve in. God, show me how to change. That's my prayer for this series. And you know, one of these series is hard. It's hard to listen to some of this stuff because it hits you square. I know it does me. Because as I was reviewing this, I looked at it all and said, I'm in all of these boxes right now. I can see parts of my lives in every single box here. And I need to learn how to grow and become more like God in these. But we're going to give you a chance to come up here in a second and pray with some people. Because I believe God wants to do something big in your life. God's always wanting to do something big in your life. It just depends if we're open and receptive to what He's doing. You see, we read the scripture a while ago. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's liberty. And God is here today. God is here. He's ready to set you free. He's ready to bring freedom in your life in that situation that you've been struggling with, the one that's been just tearing you up. God wants to give you freedom. And we're going to open this up for you to come pray with these people. Father, thank you so much, God, for what you want to do in our lives. God, thank you that you do want to bless us. God, that you want to bring good things into our lives, but don't let that control us. Father, I just pray for everyone here, God, that you're just bringing freedom. You're just pouring your peace out on us, your love and your mercy. God, show us where we need to change. Show us to where we need to make adjustments in our lives so that we can continue in our relationship with you and get unstuck. Father, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have any need, come ahead. Vapor in the wind, still you.
told me who I am. I know I am a flower with you, baby. Here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean. A vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling and told me who I am. I am.
Let's stand together. Lord, we thank you today for your word. Thank you for touching hearts, changing lives. Bless your people as they go forth from this place today. In Christ's name, amen.
Here tonight. It says it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I thank God that he calls us his friends. In spite of all that we have done, if we'll only believe, say only believe, only believe. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing.
Mindful of me, that you hear me when I call.
Is it true?
Is it true? Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it the gates of hell. Sing out. Let it rain.